Happy New Year and welcome to the first episode of Season 2, Weekly Wings, DroneLife.com podcast. It is 2025. I am still Paul Rossi and co-host with me is still Terry Neff. Terry, how are you doing actually?
I'm doing great, Paul. I'm a little tired. A little lethargic, but I'm ready to start this new year up strong. It is currently the third.
And I say actually, because I'm like, how are you doing actually? I miss, but happy belated birthday, the 1st of January.
Thank you.
Big day. You got your Cerveza t-shirt on there.
Modelo. I didn't choose to wear this either. I just threw it on.
Particular reason. What was your best gift that you've got for Christmas?
Best gift I got for Christmas, I got a $10 Starbucks gift card, and then my mom bought me a Kill Tony Live package. So I got a signed poster with Kill Tony, with Tony and a Red Man signature on it. It come with a little collapsible shot glass and a Kill Tony hat, and then both live episodes. I still got to watch the 31st episode.
Right on.
Yeah, it's a good package.
Sounds awesome. I got a jacket. I got a jacket for cold weather.
Nice. You need it right now. It's cold as hell outside.
Yeah, and went up north to Connecticut. It was snowing. Vermont, it was snowing. And surprisingly, it's like the lightest, smallest, tiniest like jacket, right, that I own. And I'm just like, this could not keep you warm. You know, how could this keep you warm? And then you put it on and it's just like, holy cow. You're like, you go inside, like, oh, I gotta take this thing off. I gotta take this layer of nothing off. I'm so hot. Yeah, no, I'm like anti-jacket.
Wearing like, a hoodie currently.
Yeah, like the hoodie. And so this thing's nice. You actually put the hoodie over it, or you put the jacket over the hoodie. So it's super nice. And then the other thing, I shouldn't tell you this, I probably owe you. I don't know if you got any checks for signing the thing or if you got anybody to sign that petition, but
I got like two people.
Did you?
Yeah.
That pack?
Yeah, dude. I got two people to sign it.
Did
Where's
you get
my
it?
Check at?
Where's your? Oh, I was going to say.
Am I going to have to go see Elon Musk?
You might, but I'm pretty sure I got checks from America Pack Petition and they were for $47. So I was holy.
I told everybody that signed it that I would give them half. So as soon as it gets here, I'm gonna have to start divvying it up.
I just still can't believe it came, but to be honest, it looked like junk mail. So it's
God, I hope it didn't get thrown away.
It has the little perforations on three sides. Like it looks like, oh, there's a check, but when you read it, you're like, yeah, this isn't a check. You know, it's one of those like pretend fake, you're pre-qualified.
This is for insurance.
Yeah, and then I actually popped it open, and it was the amount, the $47 amount and the America pack. I was like, wow, that's...
Am I the only one that signed it for you?
No, I believe my wife had signed it.
They're sending out individual checks. That's crazy.
And then I sent it to my sister, and then I think they do it like that because they know people will throw it away. So it's like the check expires after 91 days. So there's a ton of these that'll get thrown out.
That's smart.
And then they can use it for like future political campaigns and whatnot. But my sister, I sent it and she said, I think I signed up. I don't remember if I had done it. And I'm like, of course people don't do it because it's so hard to vet things nowadays. It's way easier. Like it's like your spam filter. You know how often you are trying to get the reset link and you know it's coming in, so you go look at your spam folder, but how often are people really looking and they're combing it? You just believe in whatever the settings that the default settings are. And I think people are just so inclined to go, no, that's spam. That when these like high risk, you know, type of not these opportunities come up, you're just like, nope, don't want to talk about it. I just want to move on with my day. It's like this deep in the decentralization stuff. Cause I'm like reading and diving and it just gets to the point where you're like, is this legit?
Is this going to make money?
And is it worth figuring out if it's legit or not? You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, even if it is it worth the learning and the diving into that? But happy new year, everybody. Thank you for coming back and joining us. Hopefully everybody had a great holiday time, Christmas, Hanukkah, all the various holidays, New Year's, you know, to the folks in Louisiana. It's terrible. These acts of terrorism and it's terrible because it just brings so much devastation to individual lives. But then it's like you could immediately see in these just a thought here is like you see people start to question, well, why weren't the barriers there? And the Super Bowl. And well, is the Super Bowl so important that we don't have barriers for the next 2 months? And because they weren't installed and in place yet. And well, why didn't we have trucks? You know, why was it so easy for someone to just drive on? And it just goes back to, you know.
It's always going to go into conspiracy theorists, no matter, like, it's always going to hit somebody.
Well, not conspiracy, but just questioning, like, oh, you could have done more. You could have done more because people are not in that position. And when you're not in that position, in hindsight's 20/20. So it's unfortunate the devastation it causes, like the immediate impact, but then it really tests the country. It tests the community. It tests, you know, the political discourse, because the mayor is this and the chief of police is that. And at the end of the day, I think what the person, I can't remember who exactly, if it was the governor of Louisiana, but they're basically like, just stop asking us these questions. We're not here to point fingers. We're not here to, you know, dive into, we want to make things better. We want to prevent this. So.
I hate to be this person, but you can't go to Bourbon Street expecting to be safe. That's just not something you do as a human.
Yeah, I think there's
like the most dangerous street in America, I'm pretty sure.
But some people go there and they get, you know, totally under the influence. And it's like, what happens? Like they go there and they're just like, oh, they're just carefree. Where someone like myself, you know, the training that I've had, I'm like, I don't even want to go there. You know, like to me, like the risk is so high and the benefit, pros versus the cons. But for some people, their expectation is to be able to go there and just, you know, exercise their freedoms and that the God dang police are going to protect them. And if something happens, the, you know, paramedics are going to run to help. And so when they go in there, people literally go in there with that mentality. Totally different, but just kind of, I was thinking about music. Terry, you're a little young for like music comes out so often and so it's so easy to access it that like 20 years ago when an album would come out, it was like an epic event. You know, folks would like sit down and there was no live, there was no Netflix. You didn't have on demand. So like the significance of music and the release of new music, it was like for individual people, they would get together and almost celebrate the release of a CD. And once you had it, if you went to a concert, that CD was your way of like reliving that experience in your living room. People would buy, you know, great audio. We have these microphones now that make us, you know, magic audio. It makes us potentially even sound better than we do in person.
A little bit.
Yeah. So it's like people used to just indulge in music. And then if the concert, you like, oh, we're going to that concert in 2 months, like, let's play that song. And you would just listen to it knowing that eventually you're going to hear it live.
I would say that is somewhat still true for certain like artists, like the anticipation, dude. I mean, I've known people that have like thrown listening parties for Playboy Cardi. So, I mean, that's like probably the worst one to throw a listening party for, but I've seen those.
Yeah. And maybe now with the way technology is, your listening party is even bigger because people can join, not just in person, but you have like that whole collective group. So, but again, I think it goes like when I was thinking about this, it was like, people 30 years ago, you just didn't have like
it wasn't accessible at all.
Oh my God, the event to be able to play it and hear it because you didn't have Netflix, you didn't have Squid Games, you didn't have, you know, every other piece of content and information right at your fingertips. So you're like, well, what are we going to do tonight? Oh, the same, you know, watch a movie again, you know, a VHS. So it was like all of a sudden, yeah. But anyway. What's going on in the drone space? We've got some interesting topics. U.S. Army's testing some stuff, some systems, really neat VTOL aircraft, and a U.S. drone manufacturer that is trying to get their product out there on dronelife.com and some other avenues. They looked pretty interesting. I don't know about the price point. And then we'll talk about some Chinese drone stories underwater and above ground, as well as some success stories on the police side, and then wrap things up talking about just aviation and drone safety in general. But this first one here goes back to kind of what we saw toward the, you know, throughout 2024, a common theme, military testing, not just drone systems, but counter drone systems as well. So we've got this news, U.S. Army test drones for recon in Romania. Skydio and Endural are the chosen systems. Why Romania?
Why Romania? I'm assuming it's because it's very close to all the conflicts that are happening.
Yeah, so I actually stopped when I did my deployment to Afghanistan. Romania was one of those stopping points along the way. I think I was there for like 8 hours, maybe less.
Was it fun in Romania?
I have no idea. I don't know. I just got off a plane and then sat in the tent and shuffled around and got back on another plane.
For some reason, when I think of Romania, I just immediately go to like a warehouse just full of just 7.62 ammo. And I think War Dogs did that to me. So that's the only thing I can think about when Romania comes up. Just nice and depressing with a bunch of ammo that's rusted.
Yeah. No, I mean, it literally is just like a grounds of moving, like logistics, whether it's people or you know, staging people, like supplies, you know, food rations, equipment. So they're talking about the X-10, the Skydio X-10. Skydio valued over $1 billion. I just feel like now, after everything, like everything goes back to the value. Like, where's the stock? What's that ticker? Not a public company. And the drone flies, it operates, I think, from a security standpoint, from it checks the boxes that the Department of Defense and the military would need. And then also Endural's Ghost X, which we've talked about, the Endural system, on some of the past podcasts. They've won some contracts.
They keep coming up. This is a big company right here.
Yeah.
Are they public?
I want you to look it up. Did you get one of those fancy phones?
Fancy
$1.5 billion contract, maybe. Yeah, we've definitely talked about their different systems because I know they're counter UAS.
I think they are public. Wait, are they?
Raises $1.5 billion.
I don't think they are public. They are trading at $30 though. Not too bad.
If they're trading, though, I mean, how could they not be?
I think you have to go through a broker. Like, it's weird.
They got a lot.
You can
of
go through a secondary marketplace to buy it.
Gotcha. The company at $14 billion values. So there's a company that there's a agency that's valuing Endural at $14 billion. And so Skydio is like, I think they were like $1 billion.
I definitely think Endural, or however you say the name, sorry, losing focus here. I think that's going to be like one of the main like companies in the next 5 years that's just going to just rule everything for a minute. Especially like in terms of like defense and just like military operations, they're number one for sure. They're too good at what they do.
Yeah. So in reading this, it's like not a publicly traded company, and there is potential ways to invest pre-IPO.
So they were just testing these. Were they were just flying them around basically? There wasn't no goals to see if they were good at anything in particular, or is it just?
It mentioned some heavy lifts. So I think the Endural system was involved. Reconnaissance operations is what they were really primarily testing the systems for. Let's see. There was another article that it connected to here.
Why is it has a GPU on it?
Romania, very different war, type warfare. So this was in Defense Visual Information Magazine. One is a small reconnaissance, and one is the medium range. So Skydio is a SRR, small size, and then the Anduril would be your medium size reconnaissance. So they're testing out the two and training potentially. It looks like they've had over 132 soldiers trained to operate the Skydio drone and then get in the air in less than 10 minutes.
I wonder how many of these, like, he's like testing, like there's gotta have been a few like off the books, like,
and so I
test of drones, right? Like, there's not just, they're not telling us about it every time.
I don't think they're testing here. It says in more detail, there's like the heading, and then my platoon, directly from a staff sergeant, is saying my platoon is out here conducting training for the equipment and tactics and building familiarity to increase our proficiency with all the equipment. So I don't think it's as much as testing as it is training.
Oh, so these are like for sure what they're going to use.
Right. Qualified aircraft operator before you're able to put the aircraft in the air. So we run initial qualification program, and they've got over 132 soldiers qualified on the Skydio.
How many people are qualified on the other?
It doesn't say. It's all about testing the personnel and test the structure of the platoon and the communication between the squads and how they work together. And they're talking about the Ghost X. It's going to be disseminated down to battalion levels and also required certified training to go through training program. So it just seems like the Skydio drone is a little bit more integrated at this time, and the Ghost X is going to follow the same. And so this says first field training for new drone systems, and then the other article said something else.
Okay.
And yeah, so that is really like misleading. So see how this one says first field training?
It's interesting.
The header. And then this article says U.S. Army test drones for recon. So this is where I got tests from. If you go back to the main source, it's not testing, it's training. Which makes sense. There was a lot of testing last year. These contracts that we talked about went out. Anduril got some of them. Skydio got some. So now they're moving into a advanced phase of integrating it in. And Romania would be a good place to... If you already have people, it's just weird. You know, you would usually buy it and train here in the United States. And then you're deploying soldiers that are already proficient. But if you already have folks downrange and you're trying to get them trained up, then you could potentially just pull them to Romania.
Romania, I will say, I know just a little bit about Romania. It seems like a sick place. I'm not going to lie to you. One of my favorite YouTubers when I was like 14 lived there.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, from military to a more civil... commercial approach here. You heard of Pivotal, Terry?
I have not heard of this company.
Look at this thing. The Helix. I can't remember. I feel like I've seen it. I don't remember if we... I don't think we've talked about this. Maybe something similar.
Oh, they had to make sure they had the Rivian in the shot right there pulling it.
Dude, Rivian. But here's another one. Yeah, Rivian. I don't know. I'm tempted. You know, Rivian's like $28, you know? Super low compared to...
Are these like actual videos of it flying, or is this like rendered?
Yes. Okay. This is videos of this thing operating. No runway required.
Dude, it looks cool. Don't get me wrong. It looks like I would wreck it immediately. Like, what do you need? Like,
but that's like an auto takeoff. Like, I guarantee you, like, you push a button and then it auto takes off and gets you into... you know, your needed setup.
Like, what certificates and license are you going to need to fly this bad boy?
I don't know. I haven't been able to dive that far into it. I think it'd be considered like a ultralight or a sport type pilot thing. So not a whole lot.
This is like trying to replace cars, right? So like you just imagine like having to go out to the parking lot and just like, let me check my props, you know, before you leave. Nobody checks their tires before they leave.
Yeah. You're like, let me go to the backyard. But it like they say replace a car, but when you look at it, it's like you need a car to tow this trailer. So they're selling it with a trailer. And I mean, unless you have a house sitting on a ton of land, you would actually need like a boat. You know, you could own a boat, but if you don't live on the lake, how are you going to get the boat to the lake unless you leave it at the lake?
I don't know if they're saying that this is replacing a car, but I'm assuming that's their intention eventually. Unless it's just like a hobby thing, which this would be a cool hobby to have. I mean, could you imagine zooming around in this boy?
Yeah, then you look at the price and it's just like insane.
Where's the price? I haven't seen the price.
Reserve, or you want to see the price? Here's your handle. So if you need to deploy the parachute, you got your two controls right here, your screen. Oh, Lord.
There's two control sticks.
Yeah, I wonder what...
That scares me. I'm not nearly coordinated enough to do that.
You got your pre-flight. It's all in the app. So you just use your app to go through and do your pre-flight.
Reserve your Helix.
Oh, you want me to press that, don't you?
Ooh.
Oh, did you click it yourself? Yeah, package one, the basic package. So it's operated under part 103. So it's an ultralight.
Okay.
Operating under part 103, $190,000. Reserve yours today, $9,000.
What's the differences between the packages?
Package one comes with a standard charger. Package two comes with a level two charger. So you're going to get charged up much quicker. Also, package two has a little bit different like trim paint on the outside, so it physically looks different. And then package two comes with the trailer.
Okay. You could also spend $20,000 to put a cat on the side of it.
More, right. If you spend $20,000, you could do your own all out. If you spend package two only has ADS-B in and remote ID. So like you can, this thing with package two, you're going to get ADS-B in and remote ID in. So you'll see other planes and other drones. Package three is going to give you ADS-B out. So you'll have ADS-B out. With ADS-B out, that means you can operate within the Mode C veil. Mm. So your most equipped, your ELT, emergency locator, that doesn't come in the other ones. An ELT, basically, if you crash, the ELT is like a automatic alert system that will send a message to like a data center that monitors it. And it'll be easier to find you because your crash aircraft will be emitting a signal. Mm. And then you got a couple different color schemes here. Yeah, I don't know.
It's just a hobbyist thing now, the more I'm looking at it. Like,
oh, I wasn't even sharing just you, this.
Dude, it's people buy their little planes to fly. Why not this? You know, this is cool. This is I would definitely want the... as opposed to a plane, obviously you would want the spot checking and the what's the word I'm looking for? The quality control. I would want them to look at this thing 400 times.
Well, so they are. That's the thing. You're paying this $260,000 because it's being manufactured as a Part 103 ultralight aircraft. So it's having to meet all these specs. It's not just some folks in their garage slapping this thing together.
Well, you don't know that.
We do know that. We do know that. If we go back, basically to the bottom here.
Where's their factory at, man?
About.
That's dude, a look very at this. Cool video.
That's insane, dude, right there. How about Pivotal? Are they private?
I'll see. I'll look it up for us.
Muse. Ken Carglin. Created team here. I don't know. It doesn't really say.
Let's see. Pivotal.
Oh, contact us. I'm over here. Oh, no.
Dude, they could be in a small warehouse somewhere. You don't know.
Yeah.
Amazon started in a garage, though, to be fair.
Yeah, you can get all their address and stuff in legal. Anyhow, just something neat. Little eVTOL personal craft.
I like it. There's going to be some crazy stunts people are doing with those eventually. Like, we got the stunt planes. Where's the stunt eVTOLs?
Well, just like the helicopters. But I think it's just like the NASCAR has been toting around even more. They had, I forgot to mention it, like last month, NASCAR had their electric car here in Cary like a month ago. But I didn't find out till the day of. I was like, I'm not riding all the way out there. But I think electric aircraft and then let the pilotless air taxis or let these... you know, Jetsons aircraft just kind of be safe. And eventually people are going to start to like boost them as long as you have excess thrust. But then you need to build the structural integrity into it. People will be doing the same kind of aerobatic, you know, electric maneuvering and piloting.
10 years before the eVTOL Evel Knievel comes out.
Well, and then if you look on like YouTube and stuff, it seems like it's kind of happening a little bit, like those really weird ones.
Yeah, where the people have the basketball and they're bouncing the basketball while flying on the drone.
Well, yeah, and they're like, they're actually in their garage making a like a car size flying thing. You're like, I am not getting in that. So X-Craft, I noticed in the opener here, Terry, it seemed like you wanted to dive right into X-Craft and maybe specifically their prices or whatnot. But I'm just... you know, I'm certainly intrigued by, it looks like they might even have a docking drone here. I just kind of saw this as an advertisement in.
Was this an advertisement on DroneLife.com?
On Drone Life, yeah.
Okay.
It was this drone, the Matrix 3 Advanced Commercial Drone, regularly $5,000 on sale for $3,000. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
I was looking at the Black Ops. The Black Ops, it seems really, like, innovative, honestly. Like, look how small it is. It says it has, like, a... where is it at? Could have swore it said it had, like, a hook on it. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, it says it carries a 20-gram payload.
With Skyhook. What is Skyhook? Or is that like the undercarriage part? You don't like actually hook something into it.
It might show on this video.
And I could not help to think that this looked like somebody released a YouTube video not too long ago. And it said, like, the video's name is I 3D printed a tiny quadcopter. And for some reason, it just hit my mind because I think that is 3D printed.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. It didn't show the carrying.
It's got thermal imaging, though. I mean, for $4,000, though, you get a cool backpack, you get the goggles, you get the controller. It's really not too bad. You can even buy a solar charger.
Yeah, and that they're even going out and like... selling these, because the biggest thing is, like you said, you could 3D print them and you could make it, but then it's fidgety and, you know, you have to know how to use it. So that's this nano with the thermal. That's incredible because there hasn't really been a nano thermal drone. except they are starting to come out. The problem is it's Autel came out with a small compact thermal drone. DJI is getting ready to release a compact thermal drone here, but how are they going to get it in the United States? They can't get stuff into the US. And, you know, it's part of what we're talking about a little bit. And the second here is the CCP, the NDAA 25. It doesn't have the ban, but now the Department of Commerce is coming out and basically saying, you know, oh, we shouldn't be operating these drones. And it's just constant. It's constant. There's good products at the $20,000 price point that are American made, 25 grand, but there's nothing comparable at 5,000. So like what this company's doing is it's pretty interesting. And I'm just seeing now that they're as seen on Shark Tank. So I'm like, well, I haven't seen anything about this company, X-Craft.
Go down to the little infographic thing they got.
The remote.
That's so funny.
The remote looks good. Like, it looks decent. But the aircraft itself, it looks like Skydio. And it is 3D printed. But, Terry, there is, like, good ways to 3D print. What am I looking at?
They go to the Black Ops, the page, and then go down, that one. And then go down. There's, like, a little, check bar.
Oh, yeah.
That one. This stuff is so funny. No Chinese spyware.
Yeah, American made, no Chinese spyware.
They got
FPV
some cool
goggles included. Like, I don't want FPV goggles.
The blackout mode is cool, I have to say.
The Mavic, like, you can turn the lights off on them. I don't know what that means, blackout mode.
You know what this is selling to, right? This is selling that this is for it's like ultra privacy button drone form. Like, there's companies that would sell like these phones that were more or less meant for drug dealers, but they were encrypted and they were like $4,000.
Well, it's NDA. Phone. They're claiming on the website that it's NDAA compliant. So if it's NDAA compliant, then certain funds can be spent on it. But then it's like works in a grid down. Shit hits the fan situation, you know, check, not the Mavic. Like, why wouldn't the Mavic work in a grid down SHTF situation? It would. No software updates before flight. You don't have to do software updates on a DJI Mavic thermal before you fly it. It could carry 20 grams. So it's somewhat,
I like this product.
Well, I'm not saying I don't like the product. It's just that graph is terrible. And then so they're doing that, and then they've got the this outdoor one, but it's $3,000 for a drone that looks like a Skydio. And you can really good to go back. You can 3D print things well. You just have to use the right materials and a good printer. And it seems like maybe they are.
Wait, hold on.
But you have to charge that much to have support. If you're only going to pay $1,000 for a drone, how are you going to build a company? How do you expect people to
go to that one?
Oh, and then this is hilarious. They're like, oh, this is a light drone that you hang.
That's cool, though. You have to admit. I mean,
the idea is neat.
You could you could incorporate these into drone light shows. Come on now.
Well, drone light shows are taking a huge hit, and we're going to talk about that too here in a second. Well, it's not even too early, because it's not even the attendees that are taking a hit, which is awful, because I think back to when I was like, oh yeah, in the video I recorded, I was like, oh, there goes another one. Like, there was three drones that went down. But yeah, X-Craft, a few different products here, and then this Maverick.
How much is this one, by the way?
This is $3,000. It's just your FPV drone for indoors with no thermal.
It seems like they love the $3,000 mark.
Well, everything's on sale too.
That's the MO of this type of website.
What's the thing is what's the cheapest you can make something for and not lose money and still make, like, you know, again, that's the sweet spot. If you have a $3,000 product and you can make it for $1,000 and you can sell 100 of them, $200,000, like, it's all, and it says they're on Shark Tank.
I'm sure this is going to be a successful company. I think eventually they're not going to be $3,000 though. I mean, this is definitely just like a startup. It's probably just a team of a few dudes just having fun, making stuff. Can you lay down, Willow? I like petting you and all, but I need you to lay down.
X-crap, Hannah. See, but what is this? See, they put something totally different on if you type in X-craft Shark Tank. America's drone company as seen on Shark Tank. So now here's X-craft, T-Mobile for Business, registered partner. And now here's this box, Discover Panda Drone. And so this drone, the Matrix RTK, it looks like here's a Nano One Shadow. It's like a whole
different website.
Yeah. And then
I like
here,
this website more.
Here's like their initial legacy, why they called it X-craft. The thing is like the shape of an X. It's so weird.
It's an interesting design for the... What is that?
What?
Oh, it's like the way it docks. On the Panda drone, there's like a... It has like carbon fiber, like rods sticking up like this. Like it's a grappling hook.
Oh, there you go. The Cybertruck.
There we go. Is there a Pepe mask anywhere?
Another Cybertruck. Is it deep? Is it wrapped?
Is it wrapped? This is weird because this is the same. Why are we not seeing this website? This website's so much cooler. Just incorporate a buy button on this website. Oh, and then it takes you to this. So what this is like a pre-made shop that they just kind of, like, you click buy now on this website and it takes you to like a GoDaddy like website. Oh, no, I think the Nano Black Ops is sick. And honestly, for $4,000, we could justify it. We could justify it.
Yeah, more to come. We'll keep an eye on X-craft. I mean, they're advertising. They're trying to get the product out there. Shark Tank. We'll do a deeper dive, try to see what more to come. And now Chinese underwater. Now we're gonna dive into China here for a few minutes. Super interesting. Did you see this news about the... underwater, a suspected Chinese underwater spy drone that was...
I did not. I've been incognito over the last few days. So it's a water drone.
Yeah. And there's no...
I've been seeing a ton of stuff about China and drones recently. Like, didn't they just, like, kind of show off a... like a long range, like drone deterrent system that like just scans the airspace and flies around.
It's
like a radar system.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a lot more going on here where it seems like a Philippine ship was rammed by the Chinese Coast Guard. Looks like the South China Sea is just typical South China Sea.
Mm-hmm. Is there an island right there that they built?
and China's just gotten to drones, so.
China's all over the place. You got to respect the hustle from China.
The water drones. Respect the hustle, yeah, and the drones are great. And now we've got, they've hustled so hard and captured so much of this damn drone market, they're now seen as a threat. And so we just see the Commerce Department issues a notice to propose rulemaking to limit use of Chinese-made drones and components. So the government's basically saying, like, And we need information. They're putting out a notice that says we want to create a new rule. And this, it's the same stuff that's happened in the FAA, right? They put out these NPRMs for drone delivery for beyond visual line of sight. And they ask, how can we do this? We need your input. We need your insight. And so now they're asking industry and the people, how should we be structuring this proposed rule in order to... mitigate the risk to national security of using Chinese-made drones, and then also mitigate the risk of the supply chain.
I'm going to be honest with you. Didn't hear a single word you said for about 10 seconds. You just completely froze on my end.
Completely froze. Well, the good news is it's saved locally, so we'll hear it all, but it's...
Okay. I'm just going to look schizophrenic.
Yeah, to summarize it... basically, they're going to make a rule, and they want industry and individuals and the people of the country to chime in and help figure out what the rules should look like in order to bolster the U.S. American U.S. supply chain and enhance security.
Do we not have a photo of this drone they found?
That. I don't know. I tried to find one and didn't see it, you know, over there in the Philippines.
You tell me that Philippine captain didn't have anything on him? He didn't have a phone on him? Oh, I think I found it. Oh, I found it. Here we go. I'm going to send it into the chat so you can pull it up. It's just a yellow rocket looking thing. That's an interesting drone. What is that capturing?
There is the suspicious drone.
It does look very suspicious. But I feel like if we're going for stealth, why are we making it yellow, China? Come on now. Use your thinking caps.
Yeah, I love, like, my favorite part of this photo is they set it on two tires. Three? Is that three?
Three back there, yeah.
Are you sure?
It's a big boy.
How can you say three for sure?
So there's one to the right there, right in front of us. There's one right behind his left and right leg. And then there's another one directly to the left of his leg.
I don't know. That could be one tire.
One very long tank tire.
And then all this trash over here. So
yeah,
I guess
I think this is on the fisherman's boat. Don't slander the fisherman like that.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense. It does look like they're sitting on the fisherman's boat. Let's say, I hope that's not like the Philippine police headquarters. They clean the floor. HY-119 is about 6 feet long. Not even capturing stuff. I mean, it looks like it does have sensors, but I'm like, they're just messing with people. They're just picking up location data.
Mm-hmm. They're just sending them around, seeing what they can find.
Oh, courtesy of Chinese Academy of Sciences. So now you sync this back to go, yep, China had posted some photos previously of a little fleet of these. And now all of a sudden, boom.
I wonder what data it's capturing, though. That's so weird. Like, why did they find it?
Yeah. Who knows? Students, man. You know, there's students. There's Chinese students.
Oh, it tracks submarines. It helps find submarines. Well, you really have to go through 14 links to figure this out.
Yeah, and so amongst that news where they're out probing you with underwater submarines, underwater, you know, drone vessels, you've got this rulemaking that's hoping to reshape the U.S. industry and, you know, prohibit and reduce the use and manufacturing with components, anything from China, Russia, or other adversaries. And this is going to increase security and complete a shift in the market. So I'm like, holy cow, man, Terry, UMAC could be the right way to go. Right. RCAT could be the way to go when you look at this proposed rulemaking and who's to benefit most. Companies like Anduril, Skydio, man.
Whew. Yeah, find me a good battery company to put a few grand into.
Yeah, did you go back and look at that company?
I did not.
You need to go back.
We do need to go back and find out what they're doing.
And so enough on China here. What we're looking at now is the New Mexico Police Department used a drone to nab a suspect who is a car thief within minutes after putting that drone up. So here's another one, Terry, that popped up. I'm like, oh, police won. I was like, this is weird. This article just came out. Yeah, this is fresh. And so the New Mexico police, they got a video here. I'll let this roll. Oh. Santa Fe police truck was stolen. Officers tried to do a traffic stop.
Did he just pull into that spot, the truck? It looked like he just pulled in.
They were trying to do a traffic stop. So, yes, he pulls in and jumped out of the truck. What?
He stole the worst truck possible, bro.
He's gone.
Leaving high rate of speed, probably heading back onto
gone.
Coming in house right.
Show me your hands. Show me your hands. Say where you are. Come here.
Oh, Dodgers fan. Of course. Of course, Dodgers fan.
Ooh, speaking of LA, do you know how there's just a ton of car chases in LA? Wouldn't this help?
Of what?
Like we get there's a ton of car chases in LA, like daily, more or less. And they were just following them with helicopters. What if we get like a long range, you know, high flight time drone, and we just kind of track them with that? Just kind of set it to where it just tracks that car. You know,
oh, folks are starting AFK to do that. I keep saying on the highways for Amber alerts, dude. You know, like when an Amber alert goes out, they know the car and the license plate. They know the color. So imagine having drones that could just pop up and just immediately start scanning.
They need to do that in LA when somebody steals a car. Because, I mean,
well, they have so it's such dense them. Populated. I think that they have like other cameras and.
They don't do a very good job of chasing these people, though.
Like, I don't have the stats on that.
They just kind of suck at it. I'm not going to lie to you. You might as well just not chase the dude.
And so how cool this is, like, just came out within, they show the...
they did a good job.
Catching they show the drone footage here.
He resigned pretty quick, too.
Yeah, you can see in the drone footage, right? They've got the...
Do you think they would have got him if it was in the summertime and the leaves were on the trees?
Oh, for sure, man. People would have been out, dogs, things would have been moving and scattering. That, look at that.
The most calm, like, arrest. Like, the dude's not even looking at him there for a second.
Great job by the...
Good job. Was that Santa Fe Police Department?
Santa Fe PD. Yeah, Santa Fe Police Department. Let's see. Drone was located within 15 minutes and doesn't have any officers' names here. But huge shout out. That just happened very recently.
Probably took him 3 minutes to pull it out, too. So it's really like 12 minutes is how long it took him to catch him.
Yeah, that's probably a good point there. Just wonder what drone they were using. I bet you it was Chinese.
Andrew, they're just gonna bomb. Yeah,
it was their medium range reconnaissance vehicle. Last couple articles here. We've got thermal imaging drones could help water company spot leakages from miles away. So another article that just came out this day of recording. Severn Trent anticipates this technology will be very beneficial in achieving its target of reducing leakage by 15% by the end of this year, 2025. So they're going to use a thermal drones. In docks, thermal drones in docks, conveniently located in order to deploy these for leakage. The company uses the thermal imaging drone to detect drops in temperature on land below to spot leaking pipes. So they've been using this technology for years. And so if there's a leak in the pipe, the temperature of the ground under that pipe is going to be cooler than it should be. And that's so it's they're not even looking at the pipe. They're not analyzing. They're looking at the ground temperature underneath the pipe itself.
That's a DJI, I think, right?
Oh, yeah. And that photo there, that's DJI in the
box.
That's
the one they're using.
Matrice 30T with a Dock 1. Amazing aircraft.
So it's just a water company implementing this.
And they've
been doing it for years.
Yeah, water company. They've been doing it manually, though. Going out, manually taking the drone out, flying the lines.
Taking the pilot's jobs, man.
No, because they're remotely operated. So now the pilots don't have to lug all the crap out there. And they can do these inspections more regularly. What if they do an inspection and they do it once a month, but the day after you do the inspection, the pipe fails? You're not going to detect that leak for another 20, 30 days. Mm. But if you can fly every week, you're going to detect faults. You're going to catch things quicker. So you don't eliminate the pilot. You just make it way easier for the pilot to do the job more efficiently.
It's interesting.
Because someone's going to have to be on the other side of the box, right?
I wonder how much money this is going to save them a year. Because, I mean, like a small leak can cost a house like $200 a year. So.
Let's see. I don't really see in the article. It didn't really mention.
I bet they don't have like a clear statistic on that. Surely it's saving them a ton of money, though. Much more money than what the drone's worth.
Well, you think of the cost that it takes, the time it takes someone to go out there and drive, and then the gas costs.
And so trying to find it.
Jesus. tens of thousands of dollars is going to be saved.
Good on, what is the company's name?
Severn Trent.
And it's a sewage company.
And so now, just to wrap things up here in a timely fashion, we had another incident, and it wasn't as severe, and I didn't quite catch it, but another drone falls during a New Year's display. Did you see this, Terry?
I did not. I've seen the bad one.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
Oh.
No.
Get rid of that.
I seen the bad one that happened not too long ago.
That's so loud.
So is it just like one drone falls and they're like, cut it, cut it. They're just scared after what happened to the other one?
Yeah, and I don't know how long this video is. So did we not discuss it on the show?
The former one? I don't think so.
The first one?
No.
All those lights just went out.
Oh, that they started a...
It was just like a mass failure. Let's see.
What's happening? What's China doing to the drone light show industry? They're hacking them.
What do we know so far?
Hey, Justin. Well, as of right now, we know one person was hit by one of those fallen drones and sustained a non-life-threatening injury. They were treated at the scene by EMS and released. We do know now that the show was canceled. It won't be happening or relaunching tonight. But as you can see behind me, they are still setting up the stage for the flip-flop drop at midnight. Earlier tonight, thousands of people were excited to see 200 and blink from the sky.
There was a dolphin that came up and looked like it was jumping, but it looked like a gust of wind hit it and just kind of it dispersed into a bunch of different pieces.
This lasted for about 30 seconds once drones started a, quote, controlled descent to their landing zone. This was Folly's first ever drone light show, replacing the annual fireworks show on the pier. Event coordinators said the drones were meant to be more eco-friendly, but they say it was also more costly.
I understand the environmental...
Where was the previous accident? Where was that located at? Like, the Sky Elements one. Where was that at?
Florida.
Was it on a beach? Maybe we shouldn't do them on beaches anymore. if that's the case. All that wind coming in.
Florida. Yep. So Florida and then South Carolina. And so that boy in Florida was released from the hospital. And Sky Omens had stopped, didn't do any more shows as far as I understand. And then so for this to happen, it's just one of those things when there was only a couple shows happening in a few locations, there wasn't a lot of incidents. And then the more cars, you know, like when there's a few cars, not a lot of accidents, you add more cars to the road, you increase the likelihood. So it's trying to balance the FAA's job is understanding when they give these waivers, what's the right amount of space and separation? What's the right amount of risk? The more shows that are taking place, every time a show happens, it increases the likelihood or the likelihood stays the same, but the chance of it happening is just more likely to happen. More cars, more of anything. So what's also interesting is at the same time that we're seeing like an increase in, we've seen this on the drone side, we're seeing aircraft accidents. There was a small plane just this morning, I believe, that tried to do an emergency landing, and this small plane flew right into a factory that had like over 100 workers in it. And then also there was overseas, there was that international flight that just had that crash. I think it killed like everyone on board except two people survived. And that was a Boeing aircraft that was being operated internationally. So
South Korea.
Yeah, it's really interesting when these things happen that how they get addressed, understanding there are certain risks associated with life and transportation, aviation, different work and jobs. And so from a public standpoint, I don't know. I took my family front row and had my kids sitting front row at a drone light show on December 21st. Now there was a net it's really interesting to kind of see this because it was at a baseball stadium. So the drones were set up on the outfield and everybody was sitting in the seats. So it's like you're watching a baseball game. How close is too close? But if you were sitting front row in this stand, you had this giant net guarding you. So there was no drone was going to just fly right into our kids or our faces. Could something have fallen on top of us? Potentially. But yeah, it's this new year, it's very interesting with the stuff that's happened in Louisiana. It's just, again, I think 2030 might be where we need to get to, because the 2020s are just really trying to drag us down.
Well, I know it seems like this is like very bad in terms of the drone light shows, like all these problems happening, but it's, you got to think they are safer than fireworks, right? Like they've got to be. Who knows how many people got hurt by fireworks over the New Year's? Like, I mean.
And so that's what I wanted to immediately, my thought, and I didn't have the time to kind of look into it, but as I was in my bathroom, like brushing my teeth, I'm like, you know what, how many, not that this justifies what happened, and I think the reason I didn't look it up is because I'm not operating a light show company, so I don't need to answer some of these questions, but it just from a thought standpoint, I was like, you know what, I do wonder how many folks have been injured or died due to some sort of firework malfunction. And then that guy went and blew himself up in the Tesla Cybertruck with a ton of fireworks.
Interesting year so far. We're 3 days in, man.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's not a year. It's this whole decade. So when everyone thought like, oh, 2021 is going to be so much better than 2020, it was like, no, it's not. And then it was like, oh, we're going to get ready. And then 2024, we're going to get to 2025. And it's like, nah.
We're in a nihilist right now.
We need to get to 2030. I'm telling you, it's 2030. I'm in it for the long haul. And I say that because I can't wait to see where Bitcoin is at in 2030. January 1, 2030, will I be a millionaire? Stay tuned.
More than one share of Bitcoin? There's no way it's going past like $1 million.
Stay tuned. Well, another great episode, Terry. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you. Glad to be here. Can't wait to get back on track with the podcast.
Yeah, appreciate our audience for tuning in. Hopefully you found some insight and information in this week's episode. We talked a little bit about the U.S. Army doing some training, not testing, on the Skydio and Endural systems in Romania, getting those integrated into the front lines. We looked at a pretty interesting aircraft, eVTOL, take off from your front yard, backyard, drag it, tow it to wherever you want. The Pivotal eVTOL aircraft, just a small $200,000 to get you started. And X-Craft, a U.S. manufacturer with a significantly priced out aircraft. It looks kind of like a consumer, prosumer aircraft, but it's certainly priced at more of that. I guess it's not even like American, comparatively to other American products, it's pretty cheap. So we'll follow them and see where this thing goes. Again, the China bad theme just carried right into 2025, and we'll see what the Department of Commerce is doing here with this proposed rulemaking. And hey, you know, this whole UMAC unusual machines, Terry, they jump, they're back down again. What's the low?
I sold.
Did you
not say, now? I made $3 total. So
there you go. Well, it's dip. Time to buy. Maybe it's because a lot of stuff's going to happen. Unfortunately, it looks like the House can't get their stuff together. We don't know who the speaker is yet. This is live happening, but once things get sorted, we're really going to see some move forward where we need to be when things move forward. It's probably going to be with the U.S. drone manufacturers. Another shout out to the Santa Fe Police Department for operating their UAS to catch a suspect. Good job. Way to go. And from a case study standpoint, water leakages, seeing the integration of automation and docks into their well-defined processes is really exciting. So we'll see. Hopefully more companies integrate that from the water side, and maybe your water bills will go down if they start doing their job. As always, fly safe, because, you know, whether you're flying airplanes inside, whether you're flying drones from the ground, safety is always the number one most important thing to keep in mind and factor into your operations, understanding environmental conditions, your health, and your aircraft. Super important. Again, thank you everyone for tuning into episode one of season two of DroneLife.com, of Weekly Wings, the DroneLife.com podcast. We will see everybody on the next episode. Fly safe.
Fly safe.